you guys a video. And I want you guys to try this little thing out.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
Okay, can anyone guess how many?
It's okay. 12. What about Tia?
13? Okay.
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
So I don't know how many. Did you see him? You didn't see. No, did you see the moonwalking bear?
Oh no!
did anybody catch it in the beginning? Did you catch?
Can we do it again? I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. I actually did that too.
How many passes does the team in white make?
So we're looking for the bear this time.
Go!
He's right there. He's on the end now.
The answer is 13.
Okay, so, so tonight... I have to show you afterwards. So tonight, the message is don't miss it. And so what I want to talk, so let me say this. Every time, so I don't want to say I got saved, but what drew me to Ayers were the CDs. And Hope turned me into the CD. She would pass me the CDs and I would listen. I'm like, I need more. And so every time Fast Week was on a CD, everybody would say, Pastor got me. So I was like, I never have to go through that. Well, I don't know if it was Pastor or the Holy Spirit, but Sunday I was so focused, it was both, but I was so focused on the idea that I was sharing with Pastor. I went to talk to him, and I was like, I was talking to him about it, and then he said, well, what are you doing this week? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can make it. You know, maybe Friday I can come down, then I'll be here. And then he said, okay, you answer my question. Well, I got in the car and I was driving, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, he was asking you about Fast Week. I missed it, y'all. And so then I text him. Now, here's the thing. So I text him, and I was like, well, Lord, if he wanted me to talk, I don't even know what I would talk about. So the next day, I woke up, and the Lord just started, like Pastor say, downloading stuff, like scriptures, verses in the Bible. All this just started flying at me. So I hopped up and started writing stuff down on the mirror. And so then it was like, don't miss it, Amelia. So I was like, what am I going to miss? Oh, God, I missed Pastor's text back. So then I was like, I looked at the phone, I was like, it's not there. So my phone messes up sometimes and I don't get texts. So I was like, God, Pastor done text me and said, come tonight, and then I'm not going to show. I'll just let the church down, God. So I text Hope, and I was like, should I text him back? I don't want to bug him, but I don't want to miss him. And I just... don't miss it, okay? So I went all through all this worry for nothing. He texted me and said, can you do it Thursday? And so I said, sure. So the Lord's like, don't miss it. You just miss peace over fearing that you were going to mess up. Don't miss it. So he kept saying, don't miss it, over and over. So tonight, so one of the things he did was he gave me a bunch of examples of people in the Bible who missed it and who didn't miss it. So this is what I'm going to share with you guys tonight, and we're going to break down not missing it. So the first person he gave me was Abraham. So he did miss it, and then he didn't miss it. So the first time he missed it, and that's with Sarah and Hagar. So he wanted a baby so bad. He taught Sarah into letting him have a baby with Hagar, the help. So he slept with the help. I was like, really? You know, God promised him a child. That's in Genesis 16, if you guys want to go back and read it. So eventually Sarah had her child, of course, and that was Isaac. He, like God promised him, he had a child. And the reason I say he missed it is because if Sarah is a woman like I am and most women I know, she didn't let that thing go ever. Even when Ishmael got older, I know she was like, you talked me into having that, let you have that child. I could just see it now, like, and he had to hear about it, but that was a burden on him, and then he had to go through the heartache of telling Hagar and Ishmael to go on. Like, he had to deal with that. Why? Because he missed just trusting in God and knowing that what he told him will happen. But then, later on in Genesis 22, he got it. Because he had to take Isaac. God told him to sacrifice his son, Isaac. He said, sacrifice him. So, what's his name? Abraham. He didn't buck God. He didn't do anything. He listened. And so I wanted to read a passage from Genesis 22:2. It says, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain, and I will show you. Did y'all catch it? God said, I will show you. He told him in the beginning, I will show you. Abraham caught it that time. He didn't miss it. He went up to the mountain, and in Genesis 22:11, it says, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, I'm here, he replied. Do not lay a hand on that boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, and fear as in respect and reference God. That's my input, the fear as in. But because you have not withheld from me your son or your only son. And then he provided a ram in the bush. Now what if Abraham turned around and said, I ain't got time to hear all that. Angel, when he said, Abraham, don't call me. The Lord taking my son away? What's wrong with you? Like, I don't want to hear it. I don't feel like talking. I go through this. When I'm upset, I don't want to talk. Just leave me alone. Let me deal with it. I'm listening to the Lord. I'm dealing with it. But what if Abraham would have done that? He would have missed the message about the ram. He would have killed the son. And God would have said, I didn't tell you. I wasn't going to let you go there. I just wanted to see you trusted me. Don't miss it. Don't miss the message. So in that, listen to God. Listen for him. You have to hear his voice. You have to always be ready to hear his voice. You have to expect him to speak to you. So you won't miss it because he's always talking. I actually looked it up and it said it's over 700,000 words in the Bible. He's always talking. All those words we're listening, that's, if you took a couple of words a day for 365 days, you still have more words to go through. So listen to him. Just listen. Okay, so let's go to our next person. So I went to the next story God gave me was he fed the 5,000. So this is the story where he was healing, preaching. Oh, let me tell y'all the scripture so you can look it up later. So you can either find this story in John 6, 1 through 4, or you can look at it in Mark 6:30. So Jesus is on the mountaintop. They're coming. The people are coming in masses. So he's just healed them. And he looks out and says he had compassion for these people. So he turns to Philip, one of his disciples. Here's the first. Philip didn't catch it. He missed it, y'all. So he turns to Philip and he says, where can I get bread for all these people? Philip replies back. I'm sorry. Philip replies back, 1 year's wages would not buy enough bread to give everybody one bite. Jesus didn't ask him about 1 year's wages. He didn't ask him about how much money. He didn't ask him what, where. He just said, well, he asked him where, but he didn't ask him what, how I'm going to do it. He just said, where can I get the bread? Philip missed it. He's so focused on, are you crazy? Look at all these people. He probably was upset. All these people, we got to feed them. I'm hungry myself, Lord. But instead of focus on what God said, you have to listen and not miss it. He said, where can I get it? He's talking, it just hit me. He's talking to the provider. He's talking to God himself, talking about we can't afford it. All the riches come from the Lord himself. He's talking to God, and he's saying, we can't afford that. So anyway, it goes on. He asks the disciples to go out and find food, right? So they go out looking, and it's 5,000. Now, this is a crowd. I can't remember how many people marched for Martin Luther King or whatever, but it's 5,000, so it's a big crowd. And so they going out and looking, and they find this little boy with 2 fish and 5 loaves. So this little boy came prepared. That's the first thing. He was prepared. His mommy or whoever packed him a good lunch, because I was thinking, I was like, this little boy got 5 loaves and 2 fish, like 5 loaves of bread. What was he going to do with that in the first place? None of my business. So I can't miss the message. So he gets Andrew, brings the little boy back up to Jesus, and they feed 5,000 men. That's not counting women and children. So that's the blessing. But the little boy didn't miss it. You know why he didn't miss it? Because he was in the crowd. And somebody pointed out he got brought up to Jesus. So out of 5,000, he probably was looking out at Jesus from the back. He probably was way in the back trying to see him from a speck, trying to hear him. And now he's right there beside him, because he had to bring it to him to hand it to him. He got to interact. He got VIP seats, y'all. All out of being willing to give. It says, what did the Lord give me? Present your body as a living sacrifice. This is the minimum you could do. Just be willing to give. Don't hold back. Freely you give, because freely it has been given to you. The little boy gave freely, and Lord knows he fed 5,000. He said everybody was full. And Philip talking about half a year's wages, he done fed everybody off of two fish and five loaves. So the next person that came to mind was the rich man. So the rich man that came to Jesus, so that's in Mark 10:17-22. And I actually want to read this part. So it says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So as I read this, for someone to run up to a man and fall to their knees, it breaks them. You know, like they're broken. So it labels him as a rich man. So that tells me he has money and maybe some things, but why was he coming to Jesus if he was good and set off? He fell to his knees at Jesus. When we fall to our knees, we're broken at that point. And so Jesus replies, he says, why do you call me good? This is so interesting, y'all. He says, Jesus asks, only God is truly good. He missed it. He just told him, I'm God. You called me good. Only God is truly good. He just told him who he was. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. And so Jesus started listening to commandments. And the man goes on to say, yeah, I know the commandments, you know. I do all that. So it says, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. And there is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. How does this good teacher know he hasn't done one thing if he's not God? The man still didn't catch it. First he told him he's God. And then he's telling you, it's still one thing you haven't done. The man didn't sit there and list off the things he's done so God could say, there's one thing you haven't done. He just proved to his, he just showed him, I'm God. There's one thing you haven't done. And he said, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have your treasure in heaven. He missed it. Go give everything you got, because it ain't helping you anyway. I got your treasures right here in heaven. The real riches, the real things, you will have it. He said, and you will have treasures in heaven. He will have. And that man walked away. It says, at this, the man's face fell. So he just broke down. And he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He had many possessions, but Jesus just told him his treasures are in heaven. He missed it. Why are you walking away? He just told you to give it up. He just said, give up that raggedy stuff that's got you on your knees right now. You just came to me because it wasn't working for you. come follow me. He said, I felt bad for you. I mean, he didn't say he felt bad. Sorry. He said, let me say what he actually said. It says he felt genuine love for him. He loved him. He was about to give him the world. He just needed him to follow him. We just have to follow Jesus. We just have to give our life to him and trust him. Let all that mess go. Pastor Keith and Pastor Miller are always talking to us about things that are blinding us. It ain't worth it. You know, the pleasure it gives us, it's not worth it. Why? Because God got so much for us. The little bit of pleasure that it gives us at that moment, it can't compare to what he has for us. He's saying, let it go. It's giving you pleasure, and then it gives you hurt. It makes you smile, but then you on your knees crying. Let it go, because I have this for you. He said, I have all the treasures in heaven if you just let it go. We can't miss it, y'all. We can't get so caught up on, well, I got so much stuff. I mean, that's a lot to really let go, God. You asking me to do this. I remember, be transparent. My daughter's father, I remember God was just saying, let him go. And I was like, well, Lord, I ain't got nobody else. You know what I'm saying? Let him go. And I'm like, but Jesus, I mean, you know, and I dated him from high school, so this is the only guy I ever really dated, never really went on dates, you know. I was like, no, like, Lord, let the sex go. Okay, I'll do that, but I'm sticking with him. Let it go, weren't worth nothing anyway. I got so much more for you. Why go through all that hurt and pain just to say you have somebody? Let it go. Now, it took me a daughter to understand that, but let it go. Let it go. I have treasures for you. I've been blessed so much since I let him go, and I still ain't got a man, but God knows I'm more happier. I ain't losing my... If he ever listened to this, no offense to you. But, I'm so sorry. But honestly, I'm happier. I mean, I'm not worrying about, are you cheating on me or do you really love me? I love myself. I'm closer to God. I don't have nobody pulling on me. Let those things go. He's saying, I have the treasures, and I provided. I created that man. I created the one I got for you too. Let it go. So I don't know who that is for, but if he's telling you to let him go, let him go. Okay, so the next person, Lot's wife. Lot's wife didn't get it, y'all. She didn't get it. She didn't get it, God. It says in Genesis 19, 17, and 26. So 17 says, after they brought them out of the city, one of the men said, run for your lives. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Run to the mountains or you will be destroyed. So God is destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. They're like all the sins. He's just tearing it down. And he saves Lot and his wife. And I think his child, their child, children. Okay. And so the man say, run. Sometimes you just got to run from that thing. Like, run to God, of course. Don't run the opposite way from God. So if Jesus is this pole and that thing is right here, you just take off to him. Just run. Go running. Read your Bible as much as you can. Pray as much as you can. Just run to him. Don't look back. Don't look back. Because looking back will tear you apart. Like, looking back will make you miss it. Looking back will make you want to go back. And looking back will take you right back, and you'll be destroyed right along with all this in the past, just like Lot's wife. Because it says in 26, at that point, Lot's wife looked back, and when she did, she became a pillar of salt. And I believe it happened just like that. I think she looked back, and it was like, choo. The moment she looked back, she just fell out. It took her straight back to it, a pillar of salt, and there was nothing left. Sometimes when you look back, sometimes if you miss it, you guys, you don't know how much time we have. You know, we don't know when the last time, when our last chance. We don't know when's the last moment. It says, to God, one day is 1,000 years. Time is on God's side because he's eternal. He is God. But we are human. We're flesh. It's not forever for us. Our chances is not forever. We can't take for granted looking back at something. Oh, we got to keep going. We got to keep going. We can't look back, because that moment you look back may be the last look back you get. And then just like that, you might be gone to a pillar of salt. Oh, I wrote down here, the past is for referencing, not dwelling. So yeah, so sometimes God does use the past to reference him. But if he brings the past up, acknowledge him with it. That's the biggest thing. If he brings that past up, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me from that. Don't look back. Thank you, God, I'm running. Thank you, God, I ain't got to go back there. Thank you, God, for these running shoes. Thank you, God, I see where I'm going, Lord God, but don't look back. Do not look back. Don't dwell on it. Okay. So the next person, the man in the wind. I'm sorry, y'all. The man in the window. Acts 20, verse 9. So my daddy always told me God was a humorous God. And some of these stories that God showed me, I just laugh. So how does this happen? I used to think, how does this happen? Like the weirdest things happen to me. This man is seated in the window. So Acts 20, verse 9 says, seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus. That's fine. Eutychus, thank you. Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Paul is preaching. He ain't listening. He's sitting in the window chilling, and he's sleeping. He done fell asleep. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story, and they picked him up dead. Just like that. Just that quick. It's so funny because it's like, and he died. In the Bible, I just be listening, stuff happening, be like, and he died. I'm like, God, no second, he's dead. So the man in the window, what I got from that is, you got to take the time for God. Don't sleep on God. Don't sleep on him. Give him the chance. Give him the time. This man sitting up there, he ain't paying attention to Paul. Paul talking about the Lord, and he's sitting up there dozing off. The other thing I got was being too comfortable. The man sitting up in the window, he's so comfortable, he went to sleep, y'all. He done got too comfortable in his position in the window. The sun's shining all nice. He done propped his little feet up, and he just rocking. You fall asleep on God, you start rocking. You don't know if you're going to fall forward or backwards. You gone. Don't fall asleep on God. Don't go to sleep on God. Pastor be preaching, and if somebody falls asleep on him, y'all need to wake up. Maybe this is your warning. Don't go to sleep on God, because it's a message from God. Don't take it for granted. This man rocking and reeling, and he done fell out the window. Don't get so comfortable in your place. If you need to, get up and shout. Just start. If you got to, run in place. Just praise him, but don't get too comfortable in the place you're at. Don't get too comfortable. Just like Nate talked about last night, just keep going. There's more. There is more. God gave you this level. Okay, go to the next level. He said, oh, baby, that's exceedingly. Don't stop there. Let's keep going. Oh, baby, that's abundantly. We ain't finished yet. Oh, baby, we at more than you can ask. You asked for that. No, we need to do a little more. I'm God. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Do not get comfortable. Then also, he didn't reverence God. It's God's word. Like, how you going to sleep and he talking about the Lord? The Lord could have been saying, I'm coming today. He don't know because he's asleep. Reverence God. Respect that. That's his word. When a man of God or a woman of God, Pastor Mel, anybody in here, when they're up here, listen, because you don't know what's coming out their mouth. It might be God saying, I've seen where a pastor was preaching and something came out their mouth that nobody else in the room heard but me. And I'm like, did y'all see that? Did y'all hear that? And he's still talking, but that's God. But how are you going to catch it if you're not respecting that it's a word of God coming out? You got to expect that thing. You should be tentative. Like, Lord, what you going to say? Let me write that down. Let me catch that. Oh, my God. You know, I don't want to miss that. Let me get the CD so I can hear it. Let me play it over. Pay attention. Okay, so the next person, the woman at the well, she missed it, and then she got it. Okay? So this woman at the well, and the story is in John 4, 1 through 42. This woman at the well is sitting there. So she done came out to the well. So here's the thing. Most women come to the well in the beginning of the morning to get the water and take it back because it's cool in the morning. This woman doing dirty. She sleeping with a man, ain't her husband. Done slept with a couple men, that ain't her husband. She's sneaking out there in the heat of the night. First of all, sometimes we be taking sweat for sin. Like, we ain't sweat for sin. She came in the middle of the day when she knew people weren't going to be out there. It's the sun burning. I know back over there, it's hot. It's hotter than it is here sometimes. It's hot. And she going out there to get water because she don't want to get caught because she know what she doing. But there she meets Jesus, right? And Jesus talking to her, he say, can you fetch me some water too? She miss it, y'all. He said, I'm the living water. If you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water. She like, I ain't asking you. Who are you? First of all, you talking to Jesus. If I was there, I would have got upset because you don't talk to the Lord like that. Okay, let me not get upset. Don't talk to him like that. Don't talk to my guy like that. But she did. And he kept talking to him. But here's how she got it. She kept talking. She kept talking to him. And next thing you know, she got it. She finally got it, and then she ran. She said, this man, he knew everything. She finally got it. So what does that mean? Sometimes we will miss it, but you got to keep talking to God. You got to keep pressing. You got to keep, just stay engaged with him. Don't give up, and he'll finally get to that point where you'll get it, and that's when you'll have it. So if you just stay in tune with him, if you miss it, he got it. He going to make up for it. Another thing Nate said last night that really had me stunned was, he said, even if I fail, I'm okay. Why? Because God got you if you stay touched with him. So the next thing is the woman with the issue of blood. Y'all, she got it. She got it. She ain't miss it. She got an issue. She been bleeding for 12 years. First of all, if I bleed for 3 days, I'm about to have a heart attack. She's been bleeding for 12 years, going on and on. And she said, I just need to touch him. I just got to touch him. She pushed through. Like, if you're losing that much blood, I can imagine she's weak. Like, hurting. Cramps hurt us women. I mean, y'all can agree. We need Motrin on the spot. Heat pad, anything. 12 years, she has to be weak. Weak, tired, weary. I know she's cried, but she pushed through that thing. She fought through that thing. She knew who she was going to touch. She knew who he was. She ain't miss it. She ain't missed that opportunity. Matter of fact, I believe I read, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Jesus had came through there before, right? She might have missed him the first time, but she wasn't going to miss him this time. He came through there before. She's like, oh, he coming back? Are we getting this thing? And she pushed through that thing. Determination. You got to know who we believe in. He's God. And whatever it takes to touch him, it's worth it. All right, Thomas, good old Thomas. Thomas missed it, y'all. John 20, 24 through 29, the story with Thomas. Jesus died on the cross. Everybody done cried and stuff. He revealed himself to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. So the disciples like, yo, Thomas, man, we just saw Jesus. He made it. Like, the prophecy is fulfilled. Thomas gonna sit up here and say, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put his finger where the nails were and put my hands inside his side, I ain't gonna believe. Don't be talking about Jesus like that. Don't do it. Don't. But not only that, he doubting. He's known for being doubting Thomas. Unless I do it, unless I see it, faith is believing and not seeing. But yet unless I see it, unless I can touch it, it ain't real. He's going to miss it. But Jesus came and revealed himself. And I love Jesus. He's so smooth, y'all. He said, put your finger here. It's in verse 27. Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hands. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Y'all, he still missed it. And I didn't catch this until God showed it to me. God just told him to put his hands in his hand. Put your hands in his side. That's the blood of Christ. He had the opportunity to touch it. He was so caught up because he was doubting them and doing all this other crazy stuff. He didn't even touch the blood. We're covered in the blood spiritually. He got a chance to touch it physically. The woman just touched his garment and got healed. Imagine touching that blood, that wound of Jesus. Imagine what that could have did for his life. He ain't do it. So busy doubting, now he remorseful because he know he was wrong. Don't get caught up. Don't doubt him. and don't get caught up. Okay, so the last one, two more, I'm sorry. So Jonah. So he brought me to the book of Jonah because I was so interested. I always heard the story about being in a whale and how, you know, I was like, ew, like you got to be in there with fish already stink. And then you got to be inside the fish and stuff. Like, and then, you know, acids are in your stomach. So I'm like, ooh, it probably burnt in there and all that kind of stuff. And so he asked, so I wanted to read it. So I read it. And so God gave him a mission. And Jonah ran, y'all. He was like, I'm not doing that mission. And he ran, got swallowed, so God swallowed him up. Matter of fact, the people kicked him off the boat because he was causing so much rupture. They was like, get out. And so he got spit out. He said, God, whatever you wanted me to do, I'll do it if you just let me out this fish. So he goes and do it. Come to find out, the Lord and Jesus wanted him to go and speak to a people and tell them about their ways. So he goes and do it. And God was going to punish these people, right? And the people... And this is Jonah chapters 1 all the way through 4, chapter 1 through 4. So the people changed their ways. They're like, okay, God gonna take us out, y'all. Probably like Solomon and Gomorrah, like we got to get it together. And next thing you know, they changed their ways and God forgave them. Y'all, I don't think I can say that in church. Y'all, Jonah was P-word. He was mad. Oh my God, he was mad. Y'all listen, he said, he prayed to the Lord. It says, verse 2, it says, isn't this what I said, Lord? When I was still at home, this is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish, I think. Y'all, that's what he's saying, like, God, ain't this what I told you we're gonna do? Like, that's why he ran to the fish. Like, he's like, I did it for anything. I did it, what? That's why I did it. He said, I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to just die. He's so dramatic, y'all. But Jonah like me. Now, I can say Jonah's like me kind of because I was upset God didn't punish some people one time. Yeah, it's like, God, all they did to me, like, and they live in life, like, what is this? Y'all, Jonah missed it. He missed it. He missed it. So Jonah gets mad to make four chapters shorter. He get mad. He go sit up on the hill. He done made shelter. He looking at the city. He just mad. He just watching them. You know how when you upset with people, you just staring at your enemies, wasting time, just looking at them on Facebook and watching them, what they doing. Who done like they pictures? God, you just keep blessing them. He mad, the sun beaming. So God grows a tree up behind him and give him shade. He don't even realize God done gave him shade, y'all. He done missed that blessing. So by the next day, God let the tree die. He let a worm eat the tree up. And the sun beaming down on his neck. Like just burning him up, y'all. He already hot because he mad. And it's just burning him up. And so God asked him, he said, is it right for you to be angry? Y'all, Jonah never got it. And matter of fact, let me see. He said, he answers yes. I mean, he says, we're not going to go read it because I can't find it in the scripture. Go read it. But verse 9, okay. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah said, it is, he said, and I am so angry, I wish I were dead. Here he go again, trying to die. Lord, just take me out. Jesus, just kill me, God. He done missed God and grew a tree in a day just to cover his butt. And his little attitude, he doing the same thing that people doing. He messing up knowing that God's taking care of you messing up like this. And God grew a tree anyway because he forgave him. And he said, how can you be mad at them for me blessing them and I'm blessing you in your mess? I don't know who that's for. I don't. Israelites. So we know the story of the Israelites. They walking around in the wilderness after God done brought them through the Red Sea. They brought them through bondage, brought them through the Red Sea, and they just murmuring and complaining and mad and upset and murmuring and complaining. And so in the wilderness, God gave the manna. He showed me this manna. And I don't know who this is for, but every time I read about the Israelites, he brought to me manna. And so manna fell from the sky. And from my understanding, manna means, what is this? Is what I learned from the pastors. What is this? Y'all, God give us manna every day. Cause I was like, God, where my manna? I wish I had those blessings they got. They got manna from the sky. I want some, what is this? Well, guess what? Somebody gonna open their bank account and inspect the negative number, and they gonna look at it and say, what is this, manna? Somebody gonna walk up and get a promotion. What is this, manna? Somebody is gonna get a home. What is this? Cheap rent, big house, manna. God blesses us, and we don't realize it because we so focused on what isn't. He's just blessed. He's raining down manna. It's falling from the sky. We get blessed every day. My car cut off. Matter of fact, in the middle of the street, manna, it cranked right back up. I got to church. my old car used to catch on fire, and I still would drive to church. And everybody's like, what's wrong with your car? It catch on fire, that's all. And I would drive all the way 2 hours to get to church. And I was like, if I had to, I'd just pull over, let it cool off, and then keep driving. It never blew up on me, y'all. Manna. I came down to Charlotte 2 hours driving, and I ain't want to be late for church. A quarter tank of gas. On a manna. 2 hours on a quarter tank. I got here, the light still won't on. Manna. On a quarter tank. We get manna every day. We can't focus on, God, I don't have this yet. He gonna bless you. I already said the treasures are there if you're following him. Manna, take your manna. Thank you, God, for this manna. Thank you for every moment, because it's some manna we don't even know about. Something could have happened today that God just rearranged. Oh, let that man come across here so that won't happen, so he won't run into him on the highway. We don't even know. It's just manna. It's just, what is this? Manna, be grateful. Just be grateful. So I want to share. So what are we going to miss? You know, we talking about don't miss it. What are we going to miss? You miss God's blessings. So I looked up what blessings are. It's God's favor and protection. So I looked up what favor was, because I take favor for granted, like God's favor. We say it all the time. So it says, an act of kindness beyond what is due. Well, darn. I can say darn. Okay. Well, darn. That's everything. I don't deserve to breathe. I don't deserve to walk. I don't deserve this church. I don't deserve my children. I don't deserve the next day. I don't deserve being here. God still blesses me with it. If he didn't do nothing else, I didn't deserve what he did. I didn't deserve for him to go down the cross. He gives us favor. Don't miss it. The gifts he gives us, use them. That's God's blessing us. But if we're too caught up in other things and we're not following him and listening to him, we'll miss it. And he got so much for us. God told me, God, he's doing something with heirs. He brought back up when Pastor said something about don't miss the train. He said, man, you better have your ticket ready. Don't miss it. He gonna do something big. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited. Like, I remember when he was telling me about don't miss it, he reminded me of Misty and talking about the butterflies. The butterfly breakthrough. He got something so huge for us, for all of us. We can't miss it, y'all. Caught up in anything. Focus on God, love on God, follow God. So I want to tell y'all how I didn't miss it. So many people get upset about me coming to Ayers, my family, because it's 2 hours away. They're like, well, why you drive 2 hours for a church? When I came here New Year's, matter of fact, I used to tell Hope, I was scared for Hope because somebody told me that a church that has center in it is not a church. So I was scared for her. I was like, Hope, I don't know how to tell you this, man. Came here, and I was in shock. She gave me them CDs, and y'all came to life to me. Like, I never had a family. Never felt like I had a family. Y'all are my family. And y'all were my family before I even met y'all. Like, listen to the CDs. I was like, oh, that's Trina. I remember Trina. I could see Trina when she was talking about when she used to be upset. I could see her going off and then, like, loving you at the same time. I was like, I don't know Trina, but I love Trina. I remember Zip. I could see her boldness. I heard Minister Sammy and his countryness. I was like, oh, that's, like, where I came from. Felipe, when he was talking about just hearing how young he was, I was like, oh man, he's so cool. Like, y'all were my family before I even got here. And then when I got here, y'all were even more loving. Like, my children love y'all. My little daughter, she don't like nobody outside the church. She don't like anybody outside the church. She love y'all. I love y'all. Like, it's a blessing. Forget 2 hours of gas. I come up here any night that I can. When I thought Pastor was asking me to come, I wasn't going to miss it. I was not going to miss being given the chance to give back to y'all, because y'all have given me so much. And I'm not going to miss it because it looks bad. Oh, you're whack for driving 2 hours. You're darn right I'm whack. I'm whack and happy, whack and loved. I got a family. I didn't have a home. I was homeless. I used to sleep in my car because I didn't even feel comfortable being in the places I got invited to. I come down here. I done got invited to so many homes. I stayed with Zipping. I felt that bed. I love that bed. I miss that bed. Stella invited me. Like, so many people done invited me to their homes. Spirit thicker than blood, and blood thicker than water. And I got spirit family, and y'all my family. God, I was so upset about not having a father. Pastor Keith and Pastor Mel for like my mother and father. I told Pastor Keith the angels messed up and gave me to the wrong parents. I love y'all so much. I'm not gonna miss it. I'm telling y'all, don't miss it, because I love y'all and I want y'all to have the best too. And whoever's out there, CDs and all, have the best. Don't miss it. And that's it.
Hear me?
Yes.